This is the K-Bach Heart of the Arts podcast. I'm Greg Kustraba. The Phoenix Chorale will be in performance Saturday and Sunday, March 9th and 10th at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts. Their program will include the Requiem by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and the Arizona premiere of Christopher Tin's piece, The Lost Birds, an Extinction Elegy. Christopher is on the phone from Los Angeles. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Before we talk about the piece, let's talk a little bit about your compositional career. You've done, seems like, a bit of everything, some film, television, video games, and, well, even a string quartet. But you seem to like large canvases, choruses, and orchestras. Tell us a little bit about how you got started and how you got onto the track of doing this, what I guess we'd call new media.
I sort of was funneled into new media because I had a certain style of music that I wanted to write in, which wasn't necessarily welcome in the contemporary classical concert music world. And that is sort of a more lyrical, melodically driven, harmonic and tonal, one might say romantic musical language. And at the time when I was doing my early music education, that sound was found in film scores, but nowhere else really. So I pursued film scores. And that led me into things like video game scoring, right, which is where I've done a lot of my most popular works. And nowadays, what you hear in concert halls has sort of opened up more broadly. And there's a much more sort of accepting vibe about different sort of musical languages to be performed in concert. And so as such, I've started to shift my attention away from media scoring back into writing concert music. And so that brings us to The Lost Birds, which is being performed by the Phoenix Chorale.
I was thinking about, say, Korngold and, you know, some of the great Hollywood film composers of the past, Miklos Rozsa, and they kind of kept their concert music hidden because if it was played, they didn't get any acceptance from it. So it makes sense that you experience kind of the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the interesting things, though, on the media side of things is that that sound is no longer the in-demand sound of film scores. There was definitely a heyday of film scores when you had people like John Williams, Jerry Goldsmith, James Horner, Alan Silvestri, people like that, writing these big, robust Korngold and Miklos Rozsa-esque scores that were very melodic. But film itself has moved away from that sort of approach. It's now much more textural, incorporates synthesizers. It's not the same sort of musical vocabulary that I sort of grew up loving. But fortunately, there's always somewhere else you can go to and not have to compromise your values as a composer.
Let's go back to your days in Los Angeles with Hans Zimmer, because you were mentioning composers that really wrote that kind of robust film sound. And it seems that Hans Zimmer certainly fit that bill as well.
He certainly did. I mean, Hans was, in a way, though, sort of the bridge between that old Hollywood sort of full orchestral romantic style and sort of the more modern sort of synth-driven, pulse-driven, drum-driven film score sound. I interned with Hans for about 2 months, and I learned so much about the film industry and how to be a professional in there. I was offered the chance to stay with him longer, but I had other opportunities calling to me, so I did move on. But I do treasure my education working under Hans.
When you start a new piece of music, and let's say maybe it's not a commission, there are no parameters, where do you start? What do you do? How do you approach that?
A piece like The Lost Birds was sort of done that way. I mean, many of the movements were commissioned, but a lot of them were just from scratch. And as you alluded to earlier, I tend to have a sort of broad view of large-scale works that I like to put together, multi-movement works. And the way I tackle them is I come up with a concept, like this idea of the extinction of birds as a preface for the extinction of humans. Then I start diving into literary sources to set to music. I mean, one of the things that people actually don't know was I was actually an English major in college, in addition to being a music major. And so, I have a lot of poetry and classics that I've read over the years that I often like to turn back to. And once I find the text that I want to assemble into a coherent narrative, then I start setting them to music. So it's often very top-down driven, like come up with a big concept, find the words to execute that concept, and then start writing the music.
Now, how did you decide on the concept for The Lost Birds, an extinction elegy? Was there something in the news that you saw? Was there some experience that you had that got you thinking this would be a good concept for a work?
Well, actually, my interest in bird extinction started when I actually scored a documentary about bird extinctions. This is about 12 years ago, I think. And it was a documentary about an artist, a sculptor named Todd McGrain, who was commemorating extinct bird species by building these giant bronze sculptures of these extinct birds and placing them in the last known locations where they were seen. And being a very visually oriented person, a lot of the music just flowed so naturally when I saw some of these things for the first time. This documentary was the first time I saw a murmuration of starlings, you know, just sort of undulating in the sky. And when I saw that, the notes just popped into my head immediately. And so I was actually able to take one of the main themes from that documentary score and base much of The Lost Birds around that theme. It's the theme that plays at the beginning of the work. It's an instrumental work called Flocks a Mile Wide. And that really sets the tone for the whole piece. And that was my introduction into this issue of bird extinctions and what they mean in terms of being a preface and a warning for our own eventual extinction.
In terms of the text that you used in this piece, you had mentioned being an English major, and you've got Emily Dickinson and Edna St. Vincent Millay, Christina Rossetti included. How did you decide on the particular text that you used in the work?
Actually, some of these texts were just poems that I've loved all my life and have had memorized for decades. And There Will Come Soft Rains, for example. It's the Sarah Teasdale poem that makes a cameo in Ray Bradbury's Martian Chronicles. That's been one of my favorite poems all my life, and this was finally a chance for me to set that to music. In other cases, I knew I was writing a piece about birds. And so literally there are anthologies of poems about birds. I would just buy these books and I just read through them. And if something grabbed my attention, then I would see if I could set it to music and see if I could actually plop it into this narrative. Because the way that I've ordered the poems is a very deliberate way to sort of tell the story of first celebrating the beauty of the birds, but then mourning their absence. Not only did I have to find poems about birds, I had to find the right poems about birds that told the exact right message at the right time so that I could craft this narrative out of pre-existing sources.
Can you delve into that a little bit more as to which particular poems you chose in which order and why?
Without going too far into detail, I mean, the first half of the work is very much poems that feature birds as the primary image. We have a couple of poems by Christina Rossetti that dealt with the sort of a romantic era obsession with the nightingale, the solitary bird that sings in the middle of the night, representative of the artist. You know, it's a very sort of romantic concept versus the skylark who heralds the day. One interesting poem that I set to music at the end of the first half is Wild Swans by Edna St. Vincent Millay. And I was obsessed with this idea of swans too, because this is a piece that basically equates the loss of birds with the eventual demise of humans. And I was looking for a way to pivot that message, you know, from the first half being about the loss of birds and the second half being about the loss of humans. And the swan was the perfect bird for that because, you know, in all of my reading and research, I came to realize that there was no other bird that was transformed into a human more than the swan was. In all of literature and mythology, the swan is, you know, everything from Ovid's Metamorphoses to forward, the swan is the bird that gets transformed. Secondly, there's this idea of the swan song, this legend that a swan is a bird that stays silent all its life, but then the moment right before it dies, it opens its mouth and it sings the most beautiful song, and then it dies. So the swan for me became the perfect end to act one, in a way. Act two, we start by talking about the loss of birds, you know, from the perspective of a tree that no longer sees birds perching on its limbs. But the more and deeper we go into Act Two, the more we're just talking about loss in general. And then we realize that we're actually kind of talking about the loss of humans by the end of it. So there is a lot of very deliberate thought that went into the poetry selection.
Would you say that this is a sad piece? Is it a mournful piece? Are you hopeful?
It's certainly the saddest piece I've ever written. I'm generally known for a lot more upbeat, optimistic, and triumphant music. I mean, literally, the second movement is called The Saddest Noise. It is sad, yes, but we do end on a note of hope. The very final movement is a setting of Emily Dickinson's poem, Hope is the Thing with Feathers. And again, that's a poem that I've known about for decades that I've always wanted to set to music. And this piece was finally my chance to do so.
You found good success with this piece. I know it was nominated for a Grammy Award in 2023.
Yes. It's been taken up a lot by a lot of choruses, both professional and amateur, actually, worldwide. And my publishers have been very pleased with the reception that this work has had.
The Lost Birds by Christopher Tin will be performed by the Phoenix Chorale Saturday and Sunday, March 9th and 10th at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts. The program also includes Mozart's Requiem. Christopher Tin, thanks so much for your time. Great to chat with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.